Call the March 21st Common Council Meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandridge?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business, item B1, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address for the record.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I had talked once before about item number 8, the traffic flow at intersection 51st and Drexel. And I'll say pretty much what I had said earlier, and I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other with regard to how what you do at that intersection. But I've told that it's pretty busy early in the morning when the kids are going to school and then when they're coming home and so forth. So if you do something with regards to lights or just the lights that are stationary, you know, turn red, and then, but if you do something, I would suggest that you tune those lights up so that they will only work between like the hours of 6:30 and 7 to about 10, or maybe not even that long, and in the afternoon that will cover that period of time when their kids are leaving, because it is pretty busy, I'm told. Secondly, I'd like to introduce to you, if you will bear with me just for a minute, one of my favorite people in the world, Grant Halter. He's my next-door neighbor, and I've known him ever since he was about this big. And he and I became instant buddies when we first met years ago. And he comes over and talks with me. When I was recuperating, he'd come over and sit on my bench with me for hours at a time, and we would talk. So he and I have become very, very good friends. He's 17 years old. He's an aspiring artist. He goes to Lutheran High School because they have a good artist school there, he told me. And so next year he's going to be 18 years old, so some of you up there better be careful. He's quite a talker.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Just Americanites.
Sure, absolutely.
Piggyback on that. There. What was your name, first name?
Grant.
Grant, you've got a great neighbor there. Pay attention to what he tells you. And remember, democracy is not a spectator sport. So listen to Casper, and when you're 18 next year, pay attention and take part.
This is the first time he's ever attended one meeting.
That is District
5. Very good.
Five.
Welcome.
is that District 5 you're talking about right there?
What'd you say?
Is that District 5 you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Ms. Mills.
That was a threat.
District. And I would just like to know, I know that the business park was put up under a TIF, and Northwestern Mutual was a TIF, and I think the Rock is county owned, and so we don't have anything under that, but I've worked here for 30 years, a little over 30 years, and it seems with all these TIFs, that as a taxpayer, I'm supporting all these businesses under TIFs for long periods of time before, if I ever see any profit from these businesses in my lifetime as a taxpayer of Franklin. Can you explain to me how these TIFs benefit Franklin taxpayers when they go for 15, 20 years, and we're, as a taxpayer, we're supporting these businesses, and then supposedly they start paying taxes, but meanwhile, for 20 years, we're supporting them? I don't get that.
We could spend the next hour talking about that, and we don't have that time. But Mr. Liberto will give you his card. Please feel free to contact him. Just on the broad strokes, the residents don't support these businesses. These businesses pay taxes, same tax rate you and I pay. And they pay that, but the difference between the existing value and their increment value, goes to pay for the infrastructure.
They're paying taxes as they go along.
Absolutely.
That they're not paying taxes.
Correct.
They actually are paying taxes.
The increment tax goes to pay for the infrastructure that's put in for the development.
Like
sewer, water, roads, whatever.
Yes, sir. Which normally...
You as a taxpayer would pay 100% of. Correct. It's a long and involved conversation, and the one guy in the city that does long and involved conversations is Mark Liberta.
I'm taking note that the cost of infrastructure is quite substantial, or we wouldn't be offering tips for all of these businesses that are coming into Franklin.
A TIF district has to meet one test, and that's called the but-for test. Would the development happen but for the existence of a TIF? So that's the key in that. So typically a business owner, individual developer, whatever, would not be able to move forward with the project without some assistance from a TIF district. The only economic development tool available to cities, and they happen everywhere. City of Milwaukee has something like 80 of them.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be compared to the city of Milwaukee. I want to be compared to like Oak Creek.
Right? I think they have like 12 of them.
They have 12 TIFs.
Don't hold me to the number, but they have a lot of them.
They have a lot of them. Okay.
The entire length of 27th Street is a TIF district for Oak Creek.
There's like 150 or more in the county.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
We have three active.
There's about 100.
And all the others are paid off?
Correct.
Done. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else wishing
to? Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Mayor.
Could I get her address one more time? What was your address, ma'am?
Mine?
Yes.
8018 West Winston Way.
The best way to get information and get answers like that is to contact your alderman, and based on your address, I'm your alderman.
Yes, you, yeah.
So before you leave tonight, I'll get your phone number and I'll touch base with you. Now, Mark is the expert on TIF districts, but I can give you my perspective, and I'm not always in favor of TIF districts, but I'll have a conversation with you.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. What I'll do is I am chairman of economic development for Milwaukee County, and about 4 or 5 months ago, I asked for a report on all the TIFs in the entire county, what they started at tax-wise in terms of the tax base, everything, where they are now, which ones are open, which ones have been closed, so I could forward you that document and you could ship it off to her, and that way you'll see, you know, I want to say there's 150 or so in the county. You know, some you know, towns and villages, they don't have that tool.
Villages don't.
Villages do, but not towns. So we don't actually have any towns in the, I think, no, yeah, anyways. We'll get you that documentation. I'll get it to your alderman, and then he can share with you, and it just kind of shows how they've helped, you know, municipalities. And it'll show Franklin's, too, and all the Oak Creek ones.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
Here first, 5210 Rustic Way, McFarland. I'm here representing the project at 6807 South Franklin. And I just wanted to let you guys know we're here if you have any questions, and that if you have any changes, we would really appreciate you having to speak. And that
Is that mic turned on?
You just have to speak into the mic.
Okay, and due to time constraints, we do agree to all the current conditions from the Planning Commission meeting on March 9th.
Thank you.
Good evening. Steve Rogolinski, 7834 Stonebrook Court. Thank you, Christine, for notifying me. And I'll make this brief and apologize for getting here late. But this study that was done, it's a preliminary study. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Someone answer. And when I read it, please educate me that the recommendation coming out of that, either now and in 2050, that there is no, the current setup with that four-way stop is adequate.
Correct.
And so then the process then is this, what is the next step?
The next step is refer it back to staff for them to do some more study, and then the Common Council at some point will say, we want to do that.
I have a question.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, we're going to get into that study. Is Sewer Pack here to give the presentation? Okay, because I not exactly didn't read the same thing. I thought they said that it did warrant something. So we'll have to wait and see.
That was what I...
Oh, I thought he said it didn't warrant anything.
Oh, no.
You agreed with him.
No, no, it needs work.
Work, I mean, okay.
Well, it needs some... yet to be determined.
Yep.
Matt, I mean, when I'm reading it, I'm seeing definitely that the study indicated that the volume at its current level was adequate with that four-way stop.
Let's sit through the presentation. That'll answer your questions.
And will there be another opportunity for public comment?
The council can waive the rules and allow for that.
Alderman
Barber.
There is a clause in there that will require some public input into it, and they've outlined a hearing process for that. That is also going to happen.
This is a long way from being done deal.
Well, good. I just want to be in front of it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Good for you. Anyone else? Anyone else wish to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. Move on to something we always like to do here in the city, a mayoral proclamation for Galen Henning Nopak, sorry, Brian. Mr. Brian Sternberg is here. Would you join me up front? In recognition of the 130th anniversary of Galen Henning Nopak Incorporated. Whereas Galen Henning Nopak Inc., a privately held fourth generation family business, has been a pioneer in manufacturing since 1887, becoming the world's most experienced manufacturer of high density balers and hydraulic and pneumatic valves and cylinders. And whereas in 1887, Robert Nunnemaker licensed the patent held by Nicholas Galen and Julius Henning to manufacture pneumatic malting equipment for the growing Milwaukee beer industry. By the way, Miller Brewing started here in Franklin, if anybody knows that. Serving legendary brewers Pabst, Schlitz, Glatz, my father's favorite beer, Anheuser-Busch, Miller, and more. And whereas, when Prohibition halted beer production in 1907, Galen Henning made a strategic decision to diversify, transforming their cylinder-based manufacturing capability into a need for scrap metal balers, the product for which Galen Henning is best known for today. With the repeal of Prohibition in 1932, the malt beer companies returned for new versions of their trusted Galen Henning malting products. Whereas Galen Henning continued to engineer their top-of-the-line triple compression baling presses, eventually developing balers capable of swallowing whole automobile bodies that, through continued testing and development, required manual operations to be replaced with pneumatic pilot circuits. Can we talk more about that later? Thus launching the Nopak line of air control valves and double-acting cylinders, and eventually changing its name to today, Galen Henning Nopak. And whereas today, leveraging over a century of proven engineering expertise, Galen Henning Nopak Inc., located in a world-class facility in the Franklin Industrial Park, is proud to celebrate their 130th anniversary in 2017. Now, therefore, I, Stephen R. Olson, Mayor of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, hereby commend and congratulate Brian Sternberg and Galen Henning Nopak Inc. on their 130 years of success and achievements, and remaining privately held for generations. Okay, Brian, two words, please.
Well, I may not have been around for all of those years, but
yeah,
it's last year. on behalf of the family and the employees, I want to thank the City of Franklin, Mayor Olson, for the proclamation. That definitely means a lot to us. I'm pretty honored to be part of a 130-year-old family-owned, privately held company. That's pretty unique today. Think about it, 130 years. What does that mean? Being in business for 130 years. We've gone through two world wars, Prohibition, which is particularly troubling for a company whose only product goes to the beer industry, the Great Depression, Recession, and many other challenges. It really is a testament to the resilience of this company. It was all the family to stay in this area. Over the last 2 years, we've moved into Franklin, which is very exciting for us. We've retooled our insourcing products into the state versus outsourcing, which is a common model. Hired new employees with the skill sets and continuing to hire new employees to build the building blocks going forward. And we're particularly excited to see if Frank was a partner in the next history for our company.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Can I ask you a question? Where did you move from?
So we were in West Milwaukee, over by Ford.
In the Franklin Industrial Park.
Industrial
Fourth District.
Okay, it's in the Fourth District.
Former mayor would always include the alderman.
Okay. Item C, approval of the minutes of the regular common council meeting with one correction of March 7th. Alderwoman Wilhelm gave the proclamation to Ron Romeis. Would that change? Is there...
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
With the correction.
With corrections. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. E, appointment of Gene Miniman as weed commissioner.
I move.
Second.
Discussion of that motion?
Discussion.
Alderman Mayor.
No issues against Mr. Miniman, but do we ever go out for bid on this? Do we ever have others that approach us to do this?
Madam Clerk.
Last year we went out for bid, put an ad in the paper and posted it and sent to several landscaping businesses in the area, and Gene Ninneman's was the only bid that was returned last year. So we try to do it every other year. If you switched weed commissioners every year, you'd kind of lose a continuity, so we do it every other year, and his was the only one that was submitted.
Okay, thank you.
This is becomes a philosophical issue, too. If you issue a request for bid, the implication is you're looking for the cheapest price. We would all need to discuss that, but in my view, a weed commissioner is the highest price because we don't want to be in the weed business. Right. So, anyway, that's for next year. Motion has been made and seconded. Also, roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Motion carries, 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no abstentions. Move on to G1, a resolution expressing support and solidarity with the Jewish Community Center.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Please mark that unanimous.
Thanks for bringing that in.
Well, it's part of the ICC, and I was happy to do it. Thank you. Item G2, a motion to release the irrevocable standby letter of credit for Woodland Prairie Condominiums.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G3, resolution authorizing officials to accept a conservation easement for 11908 West Loomis Road.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G4, direction to staff relative to the Zilbern Limited proposal at 7333 South 27. Mr. Hertzberg.
Thanks. So, please. I've got folks here from both Zilber and our consultants with Ehlers in review of this project. If you recall, there was a concept review for a proposed project by Zilber at 7333 South 27th Street. During that concept review, there was discussion about a mixed-use development, including multifamily as well as commercial outlots. The council's request to include remove the adjacent park motel. We've been working with the developers since that time based on your feedback. to carry the project forward. The action that we're requesting tonight is a direction to staff to continue to work with the developer towards both achieving the development and towards a financial contribution in the form of a TIF. We've gone through some of that analysis. The developer's not at a stage quite yet where they're prepared to bring forth the development plans. So this direction to staff gives us an indication about your interest in the project and in moving it forward. We appreciate your honest feedback on that, about whether or not it's worth the time and effort from the developer to continue to spend their efforts to carry the project forward. So again, what we're looking at is 180 market rate apartments. These are high quality units, including attached amenities and clubhouse, adding value and increment within this district. The reason this opportunity is unique is that it's an existing TIF district, and leveraging the resources of that TIF district allows us to add about $25 million in development to our city with a relatively quick turnaround. So the contribution that we've analyzed with the help of Zilber is a $5 million TIF grant to complete the mixed-use project, which includes an outlot for commercial development. There's current discussions ongoing with a daycare provider, something that we think adds value to the area near Northwestern Mutual, which is an important component of creating a quality environment for their employees. So it's a $5 million to completion of that project. To include the addition of the Park Motel, removal of that facility, which we understand there have been issues associated with, is an additional $2 million contribution. We've set that portion up as a pay-go. Frank from Roman from Ehlers can help explain how they do that analysis to create a fair rate of return. Again, we believe that because of this unique opportunity to add $25 million in value into our community with a turnaround to be completed the obligation by 2022, 4 years earlier than the scheduled closing of the district, is unique, which is why staff is making the recommendation to move forward on it. I'm happy to answer questions, but I'm going to turn it over real quick to Mike King from Zilber to go through a bigger description about what exactly the project looks like.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks to the council as well. As a quick reminder, I just wanted to go through the project once again, since it has been since, I believe, August when we came and did the concept review. As Aaron mentioned, what we are looking at is a mixed-use development on two parcels of land. One is an 18-acre parcel, which is currently vacant. It was previously planned to be a YMCA branch. And adjacent to it, on the corner of Minnesota and 27th Street, is a existing motel as well as a separate building that houses a restaurant. On the main 18-acre parcel, we would construct, say, commercial pad along 27th Street to maximize that frontage. As Aaron mentioned, we've been in discussions for quite a while with a daycare group. We've had several meetings with that daycare group along with representatives of Northwestern Mutual. They would very much like to see a daycare at that location. They would very likely master lease some spots there for their employees. You know, they clearly see that as an amenity for them, you know, as they, you know, look at their future plans. And then behind it, we would construct 180 high-quality market-rate apartment units in six buildings with 30 units each. They are three-story buildings that look modern but are designed to not look cold or industrial. After extensive planning, we determined this to be the highest and best value for this parcel, which is really an infill parcel between the single-family homes along Minnesota Avenue and the higher-intensity commercial uses to the south of it. We designed the project to be a good neighbor. The closest building to the single-family homes is approximately 80 feet from the lot line and approximately 150 feet from the nearest residence, which, if you think about it, that's, you know, 50 yards, well more than would be required under the zoning, but we wanted to try to design this to be the best neighbor that we can. In addition, we designed it with flat roofs to keep the heights as low as possible to, again, minimize sight lines. And we also wanted to keep as much open space as possible. We have more than 70% of the parcel remaining open and in Greenland, and we would preserve both tree lines on each side of the property as well. The
up on the table or on the other side?
Sure. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Other screen, there's only one camera.
Can you put,
just point
we've been
to
looking
that.
At this one for a while. Maybe we can switch.
I just switched it.
Oh, you did?
I
can't see the camera so much as I'm looking at that. So.
I just switched it a second ago.
We're good.
All right. Now he's talking about that parcel. Okay. Thank you.
Correct. So the motel parcel is in the right side of the screen that you're looking at there, the building with sort of a reddish-looking roof. We would intend to raise that motel property. We would keep the restaurant building, which is, I wish I had a laser pointer, but kind of on the farthest south portion of that site. Oh, perfect. Green button.
Might have to do it on the actual.
Oh, okay. So here is the motel site, and then here is the restaurant building. The rest of this are motel buildings that would be raised. We do not have a current user for that site, but would market it as an additional commercial pad and then maintain the restaurant for the foreseeable future. I don't want to get too much into design at this meeting since we're not looking for design approval, but we did bring our architect, Chris Gallagher, who is with Epstein Ewan, just to give us a couple of the design features and can illustrate the quality that we are looking at with this project.
Thanks, Mike. Just to reiterate a couple points that Mike made, the site plan locates the residential buildings in a central format that's to kind of create a neighborhood inside of the site and to keep the buildings away from kind of the existing perimeter properties as much as possible. There's six residential buildings, and there's a centrally located clubhouse, as well as sidewalks and a walkable community that we create. The buildings are intended to be modern, but more of a warm palette. We know that we'd have to come for design review for different meetings if we move forward here. But the earth tone palettes, the three stories with a flat roof is also to keep the height down versus three stories with a pitched roof, using materials like masonry, cement paneling, as well as some metal panel and some wood, natural wood products as well.
Great. Thanks, Chris. So since we last appeared before you for the concept review, we've been working very diligently with the city on the economic models and with Ehlers as well on vetting our assumptions from an economic standpoint. And Frank Roman is here from Ehlers to kind of give the overview on their analysis of the project.
Thank you. Our job at Ehlers is to establish the financial capability of the project, and also, as the mayor has mentioned, satify the but-for test, that but for financial assistance from the city, this project would not move forward. Aaron mentioned the expected valuation of the project, about $24-25 million at completion. That would generate a approximate tax, real estate tax annually of about $5.5 million. When we reviewed the numbers with Mike and with Aaron and tested.
Could you have him address who actually hires him? And
yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Frank.
Would you like me to address that?
Well, there's a secondary question. So you were hired by whom? The city?
By the city.
So you're fiduciary.
Our fiduciary responsibilities to you.
Now, in addition to that, you're also the city's financial consultant, are you not?
Correct.
Under contract to the city.
Yes.
To guide us through financial matters.
Right.
So your interest in this whole app
is supporting your view of this
and
the financial ramifications.
I
didn't mean to misspeak, but if I said working with them on just gaining the information and understanding the background to that. But
got
our obligation is to
that.
You.
I,